This is PhotoBizX episode number 330, and today we're talking about how to maximize your portrait photography sales by having the right mindset, the right sales strategy with a photographer whose average sale for this year is $2,800. I'm talking about photographer, business, and mindset coach, Joel Dunn, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm coming to you from Terrigal, but no longer at Star of the Sea Resort. We've since been moved out to a more incredible apartment in Terrigal. It's unbelievable. I'm sitting here in a living room of an apartment, a three-story apartment. We're only in one story, overlooking Terrigal Beach. You would not believe the place the insurance company has us at. I feel like I'm on holidays while I'm working. It's really that good. Anyway, for today's episode, I am super pumped to bring this one to you. I'm confident even that this will go down as one of the best interviews you've heard on the podcast in regards to generating more income from your portrait photography business. And I've got a feeling this will help you no matter whether you're shooting portraits, commercial work, headshots, or weddings, because a lot of what Joel has to share is all about mindset and just getting out of your own way and allowing your clients to spend more. So we're going to get into that in just a second. In regards to last week's episode, if you haven't caught that one, it really was focused on one particular tactic only. And I guess it's a little bit obscure because it was utilizing Bing ads. And that interview was recorded with the help of Ivan Mana, who was the guy who brought us the Google AdWords episode a little while ago. And really, last week's episode on Bing ads, now known as Microsoft ads, are really only for you if you're already having success with Google ads. It's just another feather to add to your bow. There's not a huge amount of people searching or utilizing Bing or Microsoft as search engines, but utilizing those ads are very, very cheap compared to Google ads. So they're well worth investing in if you are already having success with Google ads. So go and check that one out if that's applicable to you. Otherwise, stick around for this episode, which I think will blow you away.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, just before we jump into this interview with Joel Dunn, if you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. And that means you will only be hearing half the interview today. And if you have ever flirted with the idea of becoming a premium member, this is the interview to do it with, because Joel shares an absolute ton in the second half of this interview. You can do that. You can hear the full interview, become a premium member with a trial membership for as little as $1 if you head to photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is Joel Dunn, who started his company from the living room of a shared house back in 2002, when he was only 22, and working full-time as a brickies labourer and only working on his photography business at nights and weekends. From there, it's evolved into one of Melbourne's premier boutique portrait studios. With his wife and two staff working in the business, things are going great in what is often described as a very tough market and climate for portrait photographers. After we exchanged a few emails, I learned that Joel is only spending around 20 hours a week in the portrait side of his business, and his staff take care of the rest. The average sale is just over $2,800 for the year, and Joel says he's worked hard to implement strategies and procedures over the last few years to free himself up to focus on other parts of his business, but still maintain and improve the studio's client experience and turnover. In fact, he says he's working 50% less hours in the photography business and still growing its turnover each year. I can't wait to dive in. I'm happy to have Joel with us now. Joel, welcome, mate.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It sounds like you have the dream business. I mean, I'm guessing you don't only work 20 hours a week.
No. So the reason I set it up that way was so I could do the coaching, because I was working 50 plus hours a week and wanted to get into the coaching side of things. So I'd done a lot of training in NLP and life coaching and business coaching, and I just didn't have the time. So I sat down and thought, well, if I'm going to teach photographers how to run a business, I need to set my business up the best I can first, and then that will allow me the time to do that as well. So that was the whole premise behind getting it down to about 20 hours.
Nice. Okay, so your other focus or your other passion is the photography business coaching that you're doing with the other half of your time.
Yes, I do that side by side. So I do the shooting and marketing for the photography business, and the staff do the rest. And I will eventually probably look at getting a photographer on board as well. So that will cut my time down to maybe half a day a week. That's the aim.
Sounds like a dream. So are you the sole shooter in the business?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Okay. So that 20 hours, most of that time then I'm guessing is spent shooting. Well, I mean, what else are you doing with your time?
Yeah. So it's mainly shooting and marketing, to be honest, and all the retouching is outsourced. So generally a shoot will be, I say an hour, it's probably half an hour to 45 minutes actually shooting, and obviously meeting the clients and getting them comfortable. So I usually say an hour for each shoot, and then I'll quickly download it up to ProSelect, which is about 15 minutes, and that's pretty much it on that side of it. And then the marketing and really getting the systems and structures right, I spend a bit of time on that as well, just like fine-tuning and just meeting with the staff and tweaking stuff as we go.
Sure. How much better did your business get when you decided to get into coaching?
It definitely improved. Like, that was probably the catalyst, I think. Once you start delving into the personal development space, looking what other people are doing in the photography industry and other industries, and just getting the mindset right, that was probably the key. And that's what drove me to get into coaching, actually, because I saw how big the mindset shift can be in a business. And then when you start teaching and coaching other photographers, you just automatically pick up things and improve your business on the back of that as well. Like, the more you teach, the more you learn as well from other people.
Yeah, sure. So you said NLP, you said, what else is it?
Mindset.
Mindset, so, okay.
Yeah, NLP is like a neuro-linguistic programmer, which is, it's a really interesting subject. It's got a lot to do with psychology, and it's really good for sales and building rapport with clients and that sort of thing. And then I did some life coaching courses and business courses and that sort of thing as well, just to get some background on the best practices, I guess, when you're coaching someone. But I've really sort of got my own style now and how I approach it with each client.
Sure. So the coaching that you're doing, is it one-on-one or are you doing group coaching?
Yeah, it's all one-on-one. And I've done a workshop and I'm looking at doing some more next year, probably just on sales and the consultation process. That sort of thing, where I think a lot of photographers get stuck or they've got the wrong mindset about and they got blocks around what they can charge and how they charge. So that's a big thing I've found with a lot of my clients. So that's what I might do a few on next year, yeah.
Unreal. All right, we're going to dive deep into sales in a minute. But you said you outsourced your retouching. So is it, when you say outsource, is that, you know, to the staff in the studio or is it to overseas?
No, it's outsourced. So it's not in the studio. So the two staff I've got on, they do 2 days a week each, two part-time, and they're not photographers. They've got no photography background, because I find when you're hiring staff for the consultations, planning appointments and the sales process, it's best not to hire photographers.
Why?
Because photographers have got a real lack belief and limiting belief around sales for a start, and they look at it from a creative point of view and not a sales point of view. So the best staff members, well, the best one I've had and got at the moment, she was a past client and she was a really good past client. So they came in twice, spent really well, loved the process, was so easy to deal with. So when I was hiring, she applied and I got her in. And one question I ask when I hire staff, especially if they're going to be doing sales, is I point to a photo on the wall and I say, how much do you think we charge for that? Now, based on their answer, I know how easy they'll be to actually train in the sales process. So we've got one on the wall, it's like $2,378. Now, because she'd been in, she knew the prices. So it was like she said, yeah, about $2,500, $3,000. So that was easy. But I've had other people say, oh, $200. whereas right, that's not even going to cover the cost. So they've got a long way to go or a lot of training to do to get them up to a level. So she stepped into sales within, I think she was only here 3 weeks. And she does most of her sales now. I do some still and she does the rest. And yeah, she gets the 2,800 average consistently.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I don't hire photographers because you've got to undo so much programming and limiting beliefs they got about sales.
Sure. So if you actually move ahead with your plans and hire a photographer, like you mentioned earlier,
yeah,
to help replace you, so will their role be only be shooting?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, unless they show me that they could do sales, I wouldn't put them in the sales room. Like, I was terrible in the sales room when I first started because I had the wrong mentality about it. Like, I think the bonus that I had is the training I got when I worked at Starshots, where they were high sales.
So just for the listener that's unfamiliar, what's Starshots?
So Starshots is a glamour studio that was back in the early 2000s when I worked for them. They were big. They had like, I think they're still around, but I think they changed their name. And I don't know if they've gone out of business now, but they were the big glamour studio. And they owned shopping centres like Southland, Knox City, those sort of things in Melbourne. There was some in Sydney. I think Perth had one.
Yeah, we had a local one too.
Yeah.
In Erin Affair.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really good training ground because they were high sales, high ticket items. And yeah, just got thrown into that.
My impression, and I've never had a shoot with Starshots, but my impression of those studios is the sales sessions are high pressure. Like you get guilted into
spending. They are.
Right. Okay. So do you use the same strategies and tactics in your business?
No, I hated that. Like I did when I first went on my own, I did just because that's what I knew. But then I found that you didn't get the repeat business because people, yeah, they love the photos, but they spent way more than they planned to. So they had a sort of a bit of bad taste in their mouth, I guess. Or they didn't want to come back because they knew they were going to have to spend a lot of money. And you have a lot of people call up later and, you know, rethink their order or cancel it. So over the years, we really focused, and with some training with other coaches and that sort of thing, we really changed our process. So all the selling is done before they even step into that purchasing room. And so that's the key. The whole key is you're selling beforehand or you're warming the client up and then you're just taking their order when they get in there. So we, like out of the 180 shoots we did last year, I think we maybe had one, if that, changed their order once they left. Wow. Like it doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of, you know, the high pressure sales strategies or tactics that someone like Starshots would use or, you know, those kind of studios?
Yeah. So it was almost like get bums on seats, so get them in, give them a great shoot and get some great shots, and then try to get them to buy as much as you can pretty much. And they have to buy in that particular window. So it was a shoot and sell mentality. Like they came in, had their shoot straight into the viewing room while they're excited and everything, and then show them everything and try to get them up to a really high sale. So a lot of times they didn't have any idea of the prices. So prices weren't mentioned much beforehand. They're almost hidden a little bit. So it was a bit of a shock to a lot of people. And I know there's a lot of studios that still do this, which it just is, it's not a good vibe. It's hard for staff as well. Like, you know, you don't want to be pushing people to buy something. And because it's such an emotional thing, portrait photography, so many people find it hard to say no. So they just do it and then regret it. Not regret it, but they get angry about it, I guess. They don't like it.
We got these buyer's remorse.
Yeah, you get buyer's remorse. Yeah. So I just hated that. That's why I hated the sales room, because it was all like you didn't know how they're going to react or if they, you know, were going to be angry at the price or they weren't. So now the sales are awesome because, you know, they know exactly what they're getting, what the prices are. Like our prices are on the wall. Like it's literally impossible for someone not to know our prices before they come in for the purchasing appointment now. Like we tell them on the phone, we send them an email, they come in for a planning appointment, they're on the walls, we quote them again. Like it's impossible.
Yeah, right.
It's literally impossible.
I mean, you mentioned a planning appointment there. Is that something that you do for every client?
I'd say 90%. It's something that I had a lot of resistance to at the start because, and a lot of my clients do as well, they're like, oh, my clients won't come in for a second appointment. Like, so our clients, we talk to on the phone for a consultation, then they come in for a 15-minute planning appointment in the studio, then they come back for their shoot, and most of the time they come back again for their purchasing appointment. So it's a couple of things happen here. So firstly, when you're quoting on the phone, so I sort of have like a rule of thirds. So if you want a $3,000 average, you're going to quote them around $1,000 on the phone. Then you say, you know, you work out if they're in the ballpark then pretty much. If they're comfortable with $1,000, they come in with a planning appointment, then we try to up that quote to around $2,000 because now they're seeing the products And in this process, your experience is getting, like, they're coming in, they're investing a lot more time and they're getting a better experience because they're getting really good customer service. We're asking a lot of questions, finding out exactly what they want, showing them examples, showing them through a tour of the studio, and then they can see the finished products. So then when you get to the purchasing appointment, they've pretty much picked out what they want. And we've already talked about what they're going to put on their home, and they pretty much they own it. So you're just filling it with the photos, like a collage, for example, of what they want. So that's why it works so well, because they've invested time to come in three or four different appointments. So they're going to buy something and they're going to make it special.
Wow, I love this. This is awesome. Okay, I want to step back just a touch and I want to go into detail, but I think we need to hear the full story of how you're actually getting these clients. Are any of these clients coming in on the back of a free shoot, a gift voucher?
Yeah.
They are?
95% probably.
95%, okay.
Yeah, most of ours. Oh, probably 90. So the rest are like referrals or past clients coming back, that sort of thing.
Sure, which I imagine most likely qualify for a free shoot anyway, do they?
Yeah, yeah. We've got a lifestyle membership where they get a free shoot. Once they're a client, the shoot fee, they don't pay that again.
Yeah, so that's the same thing we did or do in our business.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is super exciting because you're taking someone that's come in on a free shoot voucher. Do they get a credit usually as well or a free print?
Yeah, that's a really good distinction that, like, it has to be a credit. So once we change this, this is when our average changed a lot. So we had 300 shoots come in like a couple of years ago and we dropped it down to about 180. This year it'll probably be even lower, which is good because our average keeps going up because we're getting rid of the dead wood, like the people who, like if you have a voucher that's a shoot plus of 8x10, you're going to get so many people come in that just are going to use their voucher. So when you just have a print credit and it doesn't actually get you anything, you still have to put money towards it. That's where you get rid of those people, the tire kickers or the people that just want something for free.
Right. So what's a standard voucher for you? Does it include what kind of credit? What value?
So $250 credit.
Okay. And so that won't even get them an 8x10.
So we took the 8x10s out of our price list and they started a five set now, which is $1,378 for five set of prints, mounted prints. Or you can get the smallest one we've got to 11x14 canvas or frame, which is $778. So they're still going to have to put $500 towards it.
Right, okay.
To come in. So that's critical. And like on the consultation, on the phone process, we don't just go straight into price. We obviously get them emotionally involved, get them visualizing, then we get them excited, then we tell them the prices, and then they're either our client or they're not. So if they're not willing to spend $500, we just say, look, maybe we're not the right photographer for you, and we're very upfront about it and our prices. And we've never had anyone, maybe one or two over the years, but not very rarely does anyone get angry about it. They go, oh, thanks for being so upfront.
Right. Yeah, people appreciate it.
Because we're not trying to trick people. We don't want them in here if they're not willing to spend at least $500. It's just a waste of our time and their time.
Right. When you've done that excitement building and you've, you know, built that rapport, you've talked about where things might go, you've got them excited about the shoot and it comes around to talking about pricing, you know, how do you introduce that? Is it what most clients spend on average? Is it our prices start at $778?
No, so we have a bit of a rule that we always quote around $1,000. So that's either a small collage for the wall or a five set of prints, depending on. So we've asked a lot of questions, obviously, of what they want to do. So, for example, if they've said they want something for their hallway, and we go, okay, cool. So what I'd recommend is like a five set of prints. And, you know, we talked about the family walking through the park. So that'd be one. You could do a really cute one of all the three kids together hugging. And we just explain certain photos that we've talked about. It might be one of the kids that they've got a really cheeky smile that we've already discussed that one. So we're actually painting a picture of the actual photos we're going to do. And then the important part is go, and that's around $1,000 with your voucher. How does that sound? So you finish with how does that sound, because they have to respond then. They have to listen. They have to take it in and they can go, yeah, great, or that's more than I expected. That's usually the two options. And if they say that, yeah, it sounds fantastic, go, great, let's book in time for your planning appointment. If they say that's more than I expected, we usually go, that's okay. That's one of our premium products. We do have a 11x14 canvas or frame, which is a beautiful one for your wall, which would still work in your hallway. That's around $500 with your voucher. How does that sit? Now, if they say that sounds better, great. They're still in our zone because I know we can get them up from there once they go through the process. And if they say that's still too much, then we say, look, we're not probably the right photographer for you? Because I'll usually go, oh, can I just have them on USB or something like that? And we go, say, well, we specialize in wall art. So we unfortunately don't do that.
Right, okay.
And a lot of photographers have got a block. They don't want to turn people away, or they feel like they have to give something with their voucher. And I was the same. Like, I felt like I had to give them something, but you don't. They're getting a free voucher and they're getting a lot of value on it. They're getting the shoot for free plus a $250 credit.
That's good value.
Yeah, it's value. Like, you've got to value what you do. Like, if they're not prepared to come in and spend any money at all, then there's no point. And they're the ones that are usually take forever to pick up their photos. They're not happy. They're the worst clients. The more people spend, the happier they are, like in my experience, and the better clients they are.
Sure. Where are your clients likely to get one of these vouchers?
So we have two main, I tell most stories, you need at least five or six avenues of getting clients in at one time going. Our main ones are, we go with a couple of different Facebook strategies we use. And then we do a lot of school vouchers and stuff as well for charities, that sort of thing. And then we have some third-party ones that just tick along in the background. But I'd say Facebook's a really good one for us.
Okay. I would have guessed that third-party marketing would have played a bigger role, but it's not by the sound of it.
No, because I find, and I've pushed and tried, like I know a lot of photographers have had much more success than I have with third-party marketing, but I find with a good Facebook campaign, I can get, you know, between 20 and 150 to 200 leads, depending on the campaign, and solid leads through with vouchers sent out. Whereas third-party marketing, a lot depends on the other business, and also a lot don't get used, or you can't get their information. It's harder to get their information because of privacy and whatnot. So you're relying on them to contact you. But when you've got people's details and you can initiate contact, then you've got a much higher rate of actually them using the voucher.
Sure. And it sounds like you prefer, and I don't know if you've experimented or tried Messenger bots, but it sounds like you prefer to have one of your, what are your girls' names, the staff members?
Yeah, so Jacinta and Angela.
So it sounds like you prefer to have Jacinta or Angela actually talk to the clients.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we don't give any prices, or we don't really do much on email initial contact. We send like confirmations and stuff, obviously, but like, we don't quote ever on email or Messenger ever. Like, it's a cardinal sin. Like, if you quote someone on a message or email, they're just going on logic. There's no emotion. It's just pure numbers and logic. And if someone's cheaper, you're not going to win. And we're never going to win because we're not cheap. So, like, it's just, there's no point.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no point. So we, you know, we get a lot of emails. Oh, how much are they? Or what's this? You know, we go, great, we'd love to give you a detailed quote. What's the best number and time to call? And they might go, oh, I just want to know how much it is. Yeah, great. What time's best to call? And, you know, we keep going until they give us their phone number.
Right, okay. So they're not getting anything unless you can actually talk, or one of the girls can talk on the phone.
Yeah, 100%. There's no point.
So you stick to your guns. Okay, great. I imagine, and you said you do, but I imagine you've got to get plenty of pushback when you introduce the idea of a planning appointment.
No. Well,
you don't.
No, we don't. I reckon at a guess, 90% of the time, there's no problem at all, because it's the way we introduce it. So we don't, when we first did it, we got a pushback because we're new to it. And we said, so would you like to come in for a planning appointment? And then when we change it to, so now what we do is book you in for your planning appointment. It's a really subtle change. But when you just say it's just what we do, people go, oh, well, I guess that's the process. But if you ask if they want to, they're probably like, nah, not really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I would say no if you ask me.
Yeah, but the way we build it up as well, and we say the benefits of it to them and why they're doing it, is really important as well. And it's just another layer of personal, like how you're, what's it called, like not just the experience for them, but just it's a real value add. Like when they actually come in, and like not many people, like customer service is dying. Like, and when we're going above and beyond like this, people are like, wow, this is really, they really appreciate it. Yeah, you do get people pushed, like a couple of people push back. And generally when they do, they're not your client. Like, they're not that invested. If they can't come in for a 15-minute planning appointment for something they're going to have like on their wall for years, these photos, they're not that invested.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do you sell it to them? Like, why should I come in?
Well, the benefit for them, we say, is like, and we sort of say what we're going to do. So now what we think, that was great, we've got all this information. Now what we do is get you in for your planning appointment, where we're going to firstly give you a tour of the studio. We're going to go through exactly, show you some photos in the album, and you can pick out the style exactly what you like. So we can see, we're going to go through what to wear, and you can actually see all the displays on our wall, and we can pick something out for your house.
Right.
So they're starting to see and get a bit excited about what they can do. Like, we're picking out something to their house. They can see all the, you know, we're going to show them to the studio. And the other one is key for kids. Like, most of the stuff we do is kids. So if you're a portrait photographer with kids, a real benefit, because most of the time when you go, tell me about your kids, a lot of them talk, oh, they're shy to start with. Generally, a lot of kids are at the ages we'd shoot. So we go, great, bring the kids in, because once they've been in the studio, once they've met our photographer, Joel, when they come back, they're not as shy. Like, they're really ready to go, and like, that helps with the photos. So that's a big selling point for a lot of mums. They go, ah, that's a good idea.
Nice. Okay. So mum and dad don't need to come, but preferably mum and the kids.
Look, generally it's mum and the kids. If the dad can come, we really push for that as well. But we don't make it a necessity, because obviously we want these, because we sort of I design my hours and the girls' hours for 9 to 5, Monday to Friday pretty much. We only work one Saturday a month, and in July we're not working at all, so we've taken that back a bit. So we want them to come in those times, and generally dad's working. But we do have ones where he comes in. If he can come in, it's great. Like, it's really good, because then you've got both of them there.
Sure. You probably just blew a few people away when you said we work 9 to 5 and one Saturday a month. Are kids coming out of school for shoots, or are you only shooting in school holidays?
We do have kids coming out of school, but like, our real busy times are school holidays. So this week we've had 8 shoots, and we've got 9 next week, which is a lot for us. Like, we only shoot 170 for the year. So to have 18 or whatever we've got this in 2 weeks is pretty hectic. And then some weeks we might only have 1 shoot, so, which works really well. Like, I know when it's going to be busy. So I know all school holidays are going to be busy. The 2 weeks of January after sort of mid-January, end of January before school goes back, is, I think we had 27 shoots in those 2 weeks,
wow,
which is just nuts. So I know I'm not going to get anything else done in those 2 weeks except for shooting pretty much. And September onwards is really busy.
Okay. And in the actual session, are you shooting tethered? Are they seeing any photos?
No.
Do they have any say at all in anything?
No, they don't see anything. I shoot pretty quick. Like, my style is very in the flow, like getting them moving, having fun, interacting. So we've got an outdoor studio, which is in our courtyard, which is like a rustic backdrop. So we shoot, I would say 50% of our shoots are there, and then probably 40% at a park down the road, and then maybe 10% in the actual shooting studio.
Okay. All right. So it is a lot of natural light stuff.
Yeah. I love natural light. And that's probably because I push it that way, because that's what I love shooting. Like, I'm not a big studio fan. So that's probably why most people do that. That's why I got the outdoor studio made, for example, because I was sick of going to the park all the time.
Yeah.
When I go to the park now, I usually do 2 or 3 shoots at a time there. So I'm not coming back and forth. So I might do like an 8:30, 9:15, and then at 10 o'clock.
Hey, you sound like a machine. Like, 3 shoots in a day kills me.
That's because I work so quick. Like, the biggest sad day, I think I had 8 shoots on a Saturday.
Oh, man, I would never do that. 8 shoots in a day.
Yeah. I think I had 3 in the park, and I came back here for 3 or 4, then went back to the park in the afternoon for 2 or 3. Yeah. But I'm used to shooting weddings, so I shot weddings for years, so it was like, that's normal.
but it sounds to me then that you must really be focusing on some kind of a shooting formula where you know what your clients want, you get the shots, and move on.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm probably almost gone the opposite way. I'm almost like all business now, and the photography is just part of the business. It's not like I'm a photographer. It's like, to be honest, I like the sales and marketing more than taking photos now. So I know the shots I need. And I know they need to have fun on the shoot, because the more fun they have on the shoot, that's part of the experience. And when they're seeing the photos, they're remembering that. So I make it heaps of fun and really quick, because the kids we shoot are generally, like, majority are probably kinder, say 2 to 8. That's probably the majority, that sort of age trip. So they've got a really limited time that they're going to be good. And the parents love it when you go, okay, we're done. They go, oh, is that it? Yeah, done. And they go, oh, fantastic. The dads especially, they're like, oh, sweet. Like, they're not, because they haven't really posed much. They're having fun, they're interacting, and then it's done.
Okay. But are you still getting plenty of those shots, you know, with the family or the kids looking at the camera smiling? Yeah, are you finding people still want that?
Yeah, you get both. So we do a bit combination of like looking at the camera, looking at each other, walking, you know, for at the park. So we, I know I need like, usually I'll do like, just say it's a family of four, two kids, two adults, I'll do four or five different setups of the family. Same with the kids together, same with the kids separate, mum and dad, then each of them with the kid. And, you know, so if you get four or five and I'll sort of match them in, like similar backgrounds for each one so we can put the collages together easy. So I'm shooting always with the end in mind. So most of our clients, I know what collages they're looking at or what they're thinking. So I know, okay, I need one on this side to match up with that one and then this in the middle. So I'll sort of know what I need to shoot.
Got it. Okay. So similar to what you would do if you're shooting for a wedding album, same sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're doing for a wall collage.
Yeah. So that's what we specialize in, wall collages. So right. That's mostly what we sell.
Okay. And so and look, I skipped over the planning appointment. So let's say you've booked me in or my family in to come in for the planning appointment. So when we turn up, I'm guessing we're going to see Jacinta or Angela.
Yeah.
And they're going to take us through for 15 minutes.
Yeah, so generally they come in, we've got the music on, the candles are burning, so it's really nice smell. They walk in, there's wall art everywhere, and we sit them down and then we ask them if they want a coffee. And if they do, great, we'll go get it. If they don't, we'll generally just leave them in there for a couple of minutes anyway. We'll go get the diary or whatever, just to let them settle.
So which room are they in now, Joel? Are they in the main room or the studio?
They're in our purchasing appointment room.
Right, so you've got wall art there, displays.
Yeah. So it's wall-to-wall collages and canvases and frames, and under every one of them there's a price, like quite big, like there's 2378, there's the 3700 like collages, so that they can sit there and we leave them there on purpose for a couple minutes so they can look around and see everything and take it in and go, okay, I can see what they're talking about on the phone, okay, that's $2,000, okay that's that, and then the kids sort of warm up, then we come in and Angela or Jacinta will sit down and just build rapport first. It's like, how's your day? You know, chat about the kids for a few minutes until they're sort of comfortable. Then we sort of started going into what we've gone through on the phone with them and showing them examples in the album. About 5-10 minutes in, I'll come in if I'm here and introduce myself as well as the photographer just for like a couple of minutes and, you know, get them excited and meet the kids and that sort of thing as well.
Nice. Two things. Do you actually have the $778 14x11 on display with that price? Like, do they get to see the cheapest product on display?
Yes, but we have it in a set. So we don't have the 778. We have the 2378. So it's like a three set canvas. So it's there so we can point to it. And we've got the 5-10 sets on the coffee table as well. But generally what we're doing there, so sometimes I'll ask, you talk to us on the phone. We'll go, okay, that's what we talked about. But then they'll bring in a photo on their phone of their wall or something, hopefully. And then we go, okay, well, is that where you, normally what the girls do as well, like, oh, so is anything on the wall you see here, once we've, you know, talked about everything, is there anything you're seeing on the wall that you like?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we can work out, and they'll point to something, but when they're pointing to it, they know the price because they can see it.
They see it there, right.
Yeah, and then we'll quote them again. They'll go, oh, yeah, with that wall you showed us, I think that'd work really well. We don't lie to them though. Like if they point to something that's like a 30 by 30 and they've got a 5-meter wall, I'll go, look, I'm glad you love that one, but on that wall, it will look ridiculous. It'll look too small. So you need to find another wall or put something more like this on it and you point to the bigger ones.
Right.
And we'll do the same for if they want the big wall collection. I've talked people down from a big cams collection because I go, that won't fit on that wall. Like it's too big. So you'll either have to go down a size or move it to somewhere else. So it's not about selling the most. It's about selling what's right for them as well. Yeah.
I like it. And
premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Mate, just before we finish off with the last question, you've been amazing. This stuff has been incredible. I love everything you've had to share. I can see that you are going to be booked out, mate, as a coach and a mentor. Where is the best place, first of all, for people to see your photography work?
So probably photography work, you can jump on to Facebook and go to JD Portrait Art. That's our main point of contact with clients to see our work because we update it regularly.
Cool. I'll add links to the Facebook page and also to your website and other stuff in the show notes. And what about for your coaching? If people want to learn more from you, talk about some one-on-one mentoring.
Yeah, so JD Mindset Coaching on Facebook is really good because I upload a lot of videos and stuff to there, just little tips and whatnot. And I've got a five-part training series for free. Like on a lot of this stuff, we've talked about the consultation, the psychology of selling. I'm happy to email it to people. I don't know if you want me to give you a link or something so they can put their email address in, or they can just go to our Facebook page and shoot me a message and I can send it.
Do you have a link, Joel?
I do. I can send it to you if you want.
Okay. I'll share that link when this goes live.
Yeah.
And we'll get that set up there too.
Yeah, cool. I'll send that through for you.
Fantastic. Mate, just to finish off, have you ever had an embarrassing moment or a stuff up that you're happy to share?
There's one when I first started my photography. So I finished university and got a job at Starshots, and I was 21, 22 years old. I was very green from the country. Moved up to Melbourne, was working in the glamour studio as a photographer, and we did a lot of those glamour boudoir sort of style shots. So it was very structured, and we used to use an old camera where you only had as a medium format camera, so you only had 16 shots, 12 or 16, I can't remember, to get the whole shoot. So I had this young girl posed on the ground. She was in her lingerie. So she was lying on the ground. She had like feather boas and fake roses, and it was, you know, you can imagine, very, very tasteful all over. And then I had the camera up, and it's this huge big tripod. It was this old prism system, so it was massive. So once you got her in position, like her hands were like, she couldn't move. So I was about to take...
So hang on, she's wearing lingerie. She's not naked, but she's got lingerie on.
Yeah, she's got lingerie on, and she's lying on the ground. I'm pretty much like standing over her on a ladder looking straight down. And I was about to take the shot, but I noticed there was a thread on her bra, like a really big black thread. And I said, hang on, because I knew, you know, the Photoshop wasn't great back then. Like it was all on film. So you had to sort of get everything perfect in camera. So hang on, I just got to grab this thread. So I stopped. Actually, I don't think I asked her. I just went down and I grabbed the thread to pull it off because yeah. I thought it was coming out of the bra, but it was actually attached to her. It was a hair.
Oh.
So I plucked this hair out of her boob, which has totally freaked me out and totally freaked her out. So nothing was said. I just quickly ran back up onto the ladder, took the photo, and then said, okay, we're done. And then I stayed in the back of the room until she left.
Oh my God.
That was embarrassing.
Like, I didn't expect that.
No, neither did I.
It's gold. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was totally awkward as a 21-year-old. I go, what's going on? Yeah.
It's so good.
That was embarrassing. I did not come out of that until she left. Like, and she was obviously she was probably very embarrassed.
Of course.
And
Mate, I've asked that question a lot of times. Since doing 360-odd interviews, that's got to be up there with the best.
Yep.
Joel, mate, you're absolutely amazing, mate. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything you have. It's been a real pleasure, mate.
Not a problem at all. Yeah, it was fun.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Joel Dunn as much as I did. Joel, if you're listening, again, thank you, mate, for coming on and sharing everything you did. It was an eye-opening interview for me. I'm sure the listener will get as much as I did from this interview, mate. So again, thank you so much for coming on. And for you, the listener, I hope I am right in saying that you will get as much as I did, or did get as much as I did from Joel. I would love to hear your feedback. Was there a particular takeaway, something that Joel said that you thought, absolutely, yes, I am going to be implementing this into my business? Because if there is, share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your takeaway, your number one takeaway in the comments area, and you'll find them at the very bottom of the show notes for this episode at photobizx.com/330. Now, in those show notes, I've got links to anything and everything that Joel mentioned, including access to his downloadable training, his email series. It's all there in the show notes. You'll also find some examples of Joel's work, plus anything else that gets mentioned that's coming up in just a minute. And for you, if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Joel into the members Facebook group, so you'll have easy access to him there. Maybe you have a follow-up question. Maybe you'd like him to dive deeper into something that we discussed in today's episode, today's interview. Hit him up there. Tag him in your post. I know that Joel will be happy to come back and answer those questions for you. And I'm sure Joel will be one of those guests that we will see regularly inside the members Facebook group, helping, contributing, and supporting you with your photography business.
It's shout out time.
Normally at this stage of the show, I have a shout out section, and that's what we're having right now. But this is a little bit different because the shout outs usually go to listeners who have left a rating and a review inside iTunes or maybe Stitcher, Overcast, on the PhotoBizX Facebook page, wherever. And I like to reward those listeners with a shout out and also a link to their website using the keyword phrase or anchor text that they're looking to rank for. But for today's episode, something a little bit different. I have, and you need to go to the show notes to see this, but I received this great photo from Tim Simpson, who's a Wellington-based headshot photographer. He used to be in Australia, in Melbourne. He's moved to Wellington and is going well with his headshot photography business over there. But Tim sent this photo, and it's a calendar. It's covered in blue post-it notes. There's typed up sheets, his laptop in the corner, and all these notes, he says, are taken from PhotoBizX. He said in that email exchange that we had, "Take care and thanks again for all that you do to keep us all inspired and enthusiastic about the business of photography." And he says, "Oh, I've attached a picture of the dangers of being a PhotoBiz exposed listener." And that's the photo that I'm talking about. So check that out over at photobizx.com/330. And my other big shout out goes to Sue Kennedy, who's a Harlow-based baby photographer in the UK. And Sue and I were exchanging some emails as well. She was responding to a message that I sent her asking if she's been taking action. And she sent back a lovely message and a video, a bomb video. And she says in her message, "For her, Julie Muir in episode 320 was a big one. She often takes notes and listens again to episodes, but with Julie's, I actually invested in BombBomb." Sue went on to say that Julie said something along the lines of standing out from our competitors by doing something different, and this really resonated with her. It's still early days for Sue, but she says it's definitely being warmly received by people, and the first couple of inquiries after using BombBomb booked. She knows that may not continue, but it's improved her conversion rate already. She went on to share a few other things which I've left inside the show notes, but I love when she says, "My mindset has pivoted in the last 18 months and I have finally embraced the fact I do want to run a business in a way that feels authentic to me." I love that. So you can check that out in the show notes, photobizx.com/330. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I'm going to get this live and out to you a day late, I know, because it was a public holiday here in Australia. Well, in New South Wales, in Australia, where I'm based. That's the reason it's a day late. I spent yesterday morning racing my bicycle, cycling, and spending the afternoon with the family here in this amazing apartment. I'll add a photo inside the members' Facebook group to give you an idea of exactly where I'm sitting as I record today's episode. It really is. It's mind-blowing. It's difficult to work and sit here. I mean, as I look out, I'm looking out over my left shoulder. I can see a few houses down in front of me, some buildings, which is Terrigal. And then I see the water from the beach. I can actually see the flags from the local lifeguards where kids are swimming because it's school holidays here. And then the rest of the view is the horizon. And off to the right, I can see Terrigal Haven with a few boats moored, some pine trees in the foreground that line the beach down here at Terrigal. And up to the north, I can see the headland from Crackneck Lookout and the little TV tower up there. It truly is spectacular. If you get a chance to drop by Terrigal, whether or not you're travelling to Australia, passing by, heading north or south, make sure you let me know. And if Linda and I can catch up for a coffee, a beer or a drink or something, we'd love to do that. So, yeah, come and check out Terrigal. It really is a beautiful part of the world. All right, that's enough rambling for me. Have a fantastic week. I will chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you've enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.